No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Happy football new year, everybody. We're about to start our live stream of 3 days of draft coverage here. Really appreciate everyone joining in. We have a panel here to start with that will not be our complete panel for the night. We have some folks working in the background as well on graphics. Josh working the board tonight, trying to make sure we don't end up with a lot of trolls, as has happened before, as you know, if you were here a few years ago with the some of the drawing on the screen and whatnot that occurred. Anyway, we think we have a great show for you. Joining me on the panel initially is Jim Zipcode. You know him well from many appearances on the show. And Justin Izzet, a new friend I made this last week when I asked for help on some graphics, and he's got some great information on the cornerbacks that will provide a visualization that is not only gives you some statistics you don't normally get, but it gives you in a way that visually expresses very quickly what I think is valuable information. So we'll be doing that. Hopefully by next year, we'll have key metrics on multiple positions, at least the edge rushers, the wide receivers and whatnot. They're good ones as well. Anyway, good evening, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for having us.
Doing fantastic. I'm excited. Ready to watch the picks fall.
Always a pleasure. Here's Fraser Tafar joining us now. Just bringing him in. Come on, Fraser. All right, Fraser, are you there? All right, having trouble hearing you, or maybe a problem. I think he's going to have to rejoin here. All right, as always, the most fun night of the year in terms of interacting directly with the fans. A lot of my content in particular is done, by myself, kind of working at my computer and filling stuff out. We have Josh Reed joining us now, all the way from the 907 area code. Correct, Josh?
How's it going, guys?
Life is good. Spencer Peterson joining us. He's been on for a Friday morning GM show, some other things recently. Appreciate that, Spencer. Looking forward to your insights on this draft. And we will hopefully have Fraser Tafar, my matchups co-host, back. And they're riding bikes on the stage. That's pretty pretty weird. Appreciate it, Dion. It's a quite amount of effort goes into this. It's not just me. It's people like Josh, who did the Inside Linebacker show and have a position to do. That's a big thing that we do each year. And I really appreciate everybody's effort. In a way, it's easiest for me because I don't really work, other than at draft time is a lot of work. But I always appreciate these guys and all the effort they put into it.
Who are these guys on the bikes other than the commish?
I try and not read too much into this. I want to go over a few ground rules here really quickly before we get started. Okay. First of all, no tip picking We are watching the NFL Network feed all together. Part of what we're trying to do is get an organic experience. Graphically, whatever it might be, we're trying to make sure we don't have picks tipped. When they come out at once, we'll all have the experience together and we'll all go, oh, or we'll all go, yay, at the same time, and that'll be good. All right, appreciate you, Jose.
I see James Jones and Lil Wayne.
Are we on screen with that, or are you talking about in the stream?
In Green Bay, on stage with the commission. I think I got a little bit of a lag on my stream, but I just saw them right on the stage. I see James Jones and Lil Wayne.
There you go. Okay. Appreciate you, Isaiah. Thanks again.
It looks like Woodstock with all the people in the crowd there.
Massive, isn't it? And there's a player at number 23 on Daniel Jeremiah's big board that I'm just not buying into at all, and that's Shamar Stewart. Anybody have any strong feelings about him?
He's obviously the next Odafe Oweh.
He does remind me of Oweh in some ways, but I do think one of the things Shamar does have is he's good at blowing up the play, even if he's blocked originally, but he's a terrible tackler.
Yep.
Yeah, he lacks complete spatial awareness once he gets into the backfield. Like, he gets so excited he gets back there, he forgets to get after the quarterback or find the ball.
Yeah, I've heard there's a pretty wide range of opinions on him, and Mikel Williams are the two where I've seen, like, very high, very low.
I read a commenter on The Athletic say that he changes directions like an aircraft carrier.
There's a lot of guys who are straight upfield players in this draft along that defensive line. Very deep defensive line draft, lots of penetrators. And the guys who get upfield, you know, they do create problems just by bifurcating the backfield. Not sure I really want my edge defender doing that as much as I want my interior guys doing it. So,
yeah, outside of Abdul Carter, not a lot of, like, well, I think Mike Green has really good bend. He's the other guy,
yes,
to me, who bends very well. But outside of Carter and Green, I mean, I feel like there's going to be a lot of starting edges in this class, but not a lot of guys who everyone knows their name. You know what I mean?
In the commenters, John Tabor, I think, just pointed out that the bike riding is a call out to that Packers tradition where they ride, yep, bikes to practice and train camp.
Looks like we're officially on the clock.
There you go.
Are we allowed to tip Cam Ward, or is that a violation of
protocol? No, we'll wait for it to come up. We want to get used to the rules here as we go.
How official is, like, the rumor has been pretty uncontested for a while now. Mm-hmm.
Have to wonder if you could get a prop bet on how much of the clock they'd take up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got prop bets for everything, even for how long the commissioner gets booed when he first comes out.
That seemed pretty short this time around. Maybe the bikes mollified it a little.
Green Bay is a very polite place.
I think Green Bay is just a nice place to.
I generally like Cam Ward. Like, I don't think he's a great first pick, but I do think he's going to be fun to watch him play.
Do
just want to be showing people what we'll have to work with here. For a lot of the show, we'll work with this spreadsheet. I put this out on Twitter today, but we kind of fill it out as we go with the picks. So if we assume Cam Ward, for example, is going to be the first pick in this round, we'll make the change and put him in. I believe green is the color I've been using for this. So he gets that, indicating that he's a round one pick. And then we'll go through. There are special codes otherwise that are down here a little bit further. So a first round pick is a green, a day two pick is a blue, a day three pick is a gray, a Ravens pick, a purple. And we also do the Bengals, Steelers, and Browns pick. One thing I want to do, and this is part of the whole fun of doing this, is I want everybody to contribute who their favorite next pick is, and we'll get a consensus going that way that we'll put up in orange. Now, in the first round, I think it actually is a free-for-all, more than it's been in most years, that there might be 10 guys or 12 guys that people in this stream would love to have with that first pick. And that number should get whittled down, but it won't get whittled down, you know, below about six or seven by the time the pick is made. So that's part of the fun of this, is being interactive and being able to get your opinion heard and out there on this spreadsheet that we work on, hopefully collaboratively. I have to say that the quarterback list and the punter kicker list are not my own. All the other ones came from the shows. And one of the problems with them coming from the shows is that I have a top 10 and then a layered set of honorable mentions, where 11, 12, and 13 are probably good. But the 18th best interior defensive lineman, for example, I have Watson at the 23rd best interior defensive lineman. I don't really believe that Desmond Watson of Florida, the 464-pound guy who might be drafted in round seven, I don't really believe he's the 23rd best IDL in this draft. So it works for the top at the top, you know, 13 or 14. But beyond that, there's going to be some problems and some fill-ins necessary.
Do you anticipate a bunch of guys getting drafted who you do not have listed on the spreadsheet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, day three, there'll have to be a huge number of additions made. For day one and day two, I would estimate that there'd only be maybe two selections that would be off this sheet, maybe three. Jake Vogel, the ultimate Georgia fan, joining us now, just in time for pick number one, we hope. Is the pick in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Cam Ward has been selected. No surprise there. I think every no surprise is a good thing for the Ravens, although they could have some positive surprises coming up. Hi, Matt, KidRock20. Thanks for joining us. If you don't know who he is, he's been joining me on Friday Morning GM while Voss has been starting up his restaurant. Brad, how you doing? Yeah, I wouldn't take Starks, Brad. I would. Let's put your question up there here. Oops, wrong place. Yeah, let's have a QB run.
So you're going to say you wouldn't take Starks?
Starks is not my guy. I like Emmanuel and Watts both better. Starks is, we'll get to some of the data a little bit later, but he just has not been a good coverage guy in college. And it's not just this one year. People are saying, oh, he's just being misused this last year. It was only a problem, whatnot. He allowed 8.9 yards per target this last year and 8.7 career. It might be the opposite, but it's like that. And if you look at the coverage metrics for the cornerbacks, which, you know, I've gone into a lot of detail, or the other safeties, they are much better. So, yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different than Ken's for sure. You know, there's probably a myriad of reasons, and I know Ken talked about it recently on his magnificent seven. You know, that Starks has a lot of excuses for, you know, picking him. I think he's a great player. I think he splashes a lot. And this past year was definitely his worst season, unfortunately. People talk about his versatility as a strength and as a weakness. I would agree with that, where he definitely can line up and play some, you know, outside corner against your bigger body receivers that are not the fleetest of foot. I think he can play some slot, you know, nickel and I really think that he lines up best as a free safety. And you see that in certain games, like the Oregon game a couple years ago against Clemson. You know, the games where he just makes, you know, incredible catches over the top, being either the man in, you know, one-on-one coverage or the guy that's really over the top. And I think what he's going to be able to do at the next level, if he were drafted by the Ravens, is come in, learn from Kyle Hamilton and the defensive coaching staff we have with Chuck Pagano, and kind of, you know, be catered more towards a free safety role, and definitely kind of hold things down from that side. He gives into more of it rather than the same kind of chess piece that Kyle Hamilton is.
The Ravens have three of the most versatile defensive backs in the entire league already, in Hamilton, Washington, and Humphrey. They definitely should not pay a premium for versatility. So if I thought Starks was the best free safety, I'd be all over it anyway. But I don't really believe that. I think Emin Wori, not knowing anything about how to play safety, has already playing it at a higher level. And I think there's much more room for growth in a player like Emin Wori, where the tools are all there and he's allowed a 37 passer rating, even when he has no idea how to play the position.
Why did you describe, not Ken, his versatility as possibly a weakness? Do you mean like he's played too many positions in college to reach his peak at one position, and so he's still got upside at free safety?
It's not a weakness. It's that the Ravens already have three guys who can do that, so I don't want to pay a premium for it. Okay. Frazier, how you doing?
Well, my comment of it.
Yeah, I meant Jake. I'm sorry.
Of it being a weakness was more so in 2024, and it was his worst season. You know, pretty much anybody that watched Malachi Starks throughout his career will tell you the same thing. I think he was just caught in a couple bad spots over the course of this season, maybe playing through some things, and it showed up. Whereas, you know, in previous years, kind of holding down the back end in a free safety role, he was a little bit better of a safety.
Okay, big development here. The Jaguars have just traded up into number two for the Browns. The Browns get a parcel of picks here. 2026 first round pick from the Jaguars. Oh, and a whole bunch of other stuff that I didn't see.
It's got to be for Hunter, right?
I don't know. I don't know if it's for Hunter or for a quarterback moving out of the Giants, maybe.
No, I think it's for Hunter.
Because they just paid Trevor Lawrence and they need a corner, and they just paid Hines Allen, and they picked up the fifth year option on Walker, so it's got to be Hunter.
I know, this was just some rumor. I forgot. I think I heard it on the NFL Network, but I know they had interest in Gente. I also think it's Hunter, but my other guess would be Gente.
So the Brownies drop back to
trade
five.
Up to Gente, to get Gente, though, you could stay at five
stay
and get
at six and have him. Yeah.
So the Brownies drop back and they pick up a second and a fourth and a pick next year, right? Was it a first round next year?
Yeah, it was the first round next three year. Picks too.
That's a good haul.
That means they're all in on Flacco for this year, right?
Can you guys hear me fine?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, they still have the sixth pick. They could still presumably get Shadur or any number of other quarterbacks with that.
Are they smart enough to draft a quarterback?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that's a really nice move by the Browns.
I do too. I do too. Yeah. If the Browns go after Kirk, doesn't really make that much sense in my opinion. But yeah, they could.
Hmm.
the name that I heard buzzing this week, and I don't think it's going to come into fruition at all, was Ashton Jeanty being a big-time target for teams wanting to move up. Doesn't make sense to me, and I don't think that's the case for Jacksonville. That'd be a huge surprise if they were moving up to second for him. I think it's pretty obvious that it's Travis Hunter. But I guess watch out for teams, you know, looking to get the top running back.
It's also, I'm interested in what happens to Jeanty just because it's such a deep running back class that sometimes the kind of the gravity pulls that top down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and people can learn the wrong lesson from Saquon and Derrick Henry that, I mean, like, the running back can be the cream on top of an offense that's already good, but it's not going to, you know, it's not going to elevate you if you're bad.
That's why I've been so against Jeanty to the Raiders, just because it makes no sense with that offensive line they have.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the comp for the Brown Street?
Seen who?
The comp for the trade up.
Yeah, they got, in addition to moving back, they got a second and a fourth this year, and they got a first next year.
Yeah, it's all that. Yeah.
Especially the Jaguars, number one, that really hurts.
Right, because that's going to be a high pick.
Yep.
I think Mason Graham could still go at five if Cleveland's there, though. They need the interior help.
Is there any chance that the Jags want Carter?
They might get Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
There's an outside chance that they could go for Carter, but I'm pretty sure it's Hunter at this point. I'm surprised it's not announced yet.
Yeah.
Unless you guys have it.
No, they're at the stage right now.
Network, he's walking to the stage now.
Okay.
Introduction of the pick announcer just complete. Oh, he's milking it, isn't he?
Wow, he really is. This is amazing. Let's go back to COVID times. That was better.
Yeah, dog in the chair making picks for the Patriots.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Everybody's living room.
Travis Hunter, it is. All right. Dominic, you got an image ready? There you go. All right.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is some really great graphics. Josh had something pretty good too, but I think Dominic really went the extra mile on this.
That's a nice suit.
I'm way behind, man.
Yeah, my stream, well, it's not really a stream, but I'm about 5 seconds behind you guys, I think.
Teron Armstead hasn't even made the pick on my TV.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, he's still talking.
Pink? Is that magenta? Is that what is that color?
You can make it be a lot of things, but oh, yeah. it's pink to me.
Yeah, it's pretty pink.
I have his corner stats. I'm going to take a look at it.
Makes so much sense with the Jalen Ramsey stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the real question is how much he's going to be able to play on both sides of the ball, because yep. I know he wants to, and I think that they're going to allow him to do some on both sides of the ball, but he's going to have to dedicate himself to one side.
Where would you play him primary if it were you?
Corner and then receiver corner. Packages.
I think he's a more special corner, but obviously, you know, part of it is up to him. I think he's going to be a good receiver as well. I mean, he has crazy hands.
Basically, do with him what the Cowboys did with Deion. Just have a package of plays for him on offense. You know, you can scheme up plays for somebody on offense. You know, but they have the greater need at opposite corner across from Campbell.
We should put up the statistics, Justin, for Hunter here.
Yeah, let me.
As a corner, I think he had 300 snaps, so just get an idea of what we have.
I got it. You seeing me?
I do. Here you go. Okay, so we're going to have this for each corner that gets drafted, but basically, all of these are percentile ranks. Some of the most important statistics that are out there for cornerbacks. So the things we're looking at are yards per target, opposition passer rating, coverage snaps per target, penalties per coverage snap, yak per reception, missed tackles, missed tackle rate, and stops per missed tackle. You want to be as far to the right as possible on everyone. The more purple, the better in terms of how good a player is. So in Hunter's case, his penalties were a little high. He's in about the 23rd, 25th percentile, something like that. Justin can actually hover over his graphic and show you what the specific was. Although it's honestly, it's a little too small for us to see.
It says 24. If you zoom in full screen, you can get it.
Okay.
So I'm happy to look at that for you guys.
All right.
He was penalized 5 times on. I mean, he played like 776 snaps. He was playing both ways.
But the coverage snaps is the one we would care about for that.
Yeah, 24%.
It's 24th percentile is what that is.
So, yeah.
All right. One of the things I saw was the
but obviously
the,
not. He was avoided. He was 99th percentile in terms of. Mm-hmm. Being avoided by other quarterbacks, and when targeted, he was only given up 5.4.
Yeah, and the opposition passer rating, which is the top three, are probably the most important statistics. The penalties is right behind it, at corner anyway. Those are the ones you want long purple lines, and he was certainly outstanding.
So, what are the Browns looking for then if they trade it back?
Maybe just pick some players. I mean,
Mason Graham.
This year in the first round.
Given the Browns' current situation, I would, if I were running the Browns, try to push as much value into 2026 and 2027 as possible.
Yep.
Absolutely. Now, there is a problem with that, Spencer, is that all of that will come due at the same time. So the 2018 mm-hmm. Ravens draft, you know, ends up being players you have to unstack from that group.
Right.
But I generally... I 100% agree with that comment. And it's not like the Browns have such an overwhelming amount of talent otherwise that they can they have to be worried about the stacking of contracts.
Yeah, fully agreed, Ken. But if I'm going to pick one problem, it's going to be stacking value and not burning talent with Deshaun Watson's contract sucking up oxygen.
When does Deshaun come off the books for them?
2 years, right?
No, it's longer now because they extended him. So that they could spread that money out more.
Genius.
So it was going to be $92 million over the next 2 years, but it'll be like Odell Beckham in terms of being the gift that keeps on giving, except you know, 5 times the size.
Couldn't imagine.
Yeah. Okay. No surprise there. Everybody have the pick yet?
No.
Abdul Carter is the third pick. Goes to the Giants.
I'm assuming. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was expecting that. Whether
I got the pick or not. Yeah.
He's my favorite player in the draft.
So.
Does that man look like an edge
complete
rusher?
Complete chalk to this point probably doesn't really. Oh, yeah.
That's Darth Vader. What were you saying about chalk?
Oh, complete chalk picks to this point, I guess, doesn't really change anything Ravens-wise. If these guys hadn't been picked, they'd be number four, number five anyway. So I think we're still waiting for any kind of shakeup.
Yeah, I think the big news is the Browns getting extra draft capital. The big news for Ravens fans.
Diamond chains.
I'll heartily endorse anyone who wants to buy their own diamond film study chain to be on air. Enjoy their families.
I'm going to break the Y off of my chain and it'll just say film stud.
Is the jersey selected an indication of what kind of player you are expecting, Ken?
No, it wasn't. Not specifically for that. Hamilton is just one of my nice jerseys. I have a Jackson and a Brandon Williams and a Nada and a few others. So,
okay.
He's hoping that DaCosta clicks over a few times and sees that and gets influenced subliminally.
Get us another Hamilton, right?
Do the math for me, B-more-P. Just stick it in chat in terms of how those JJ points line up, because one of the problems is that it's a 2026 number one, so they don't really have a clear idea of what they're getting back from the Jags. I wouldn't assume the Jags are, for instance, going to pick sixth again. Maybe they pick, 14th, 15th, whatever it might be. And I'd like you to do the math on that if you don't mind for me. Sure, absolutely. Who's offering?
Thank you, Brad.
Are you talking Genty, the running back, John? You're wondering about at number five?
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that must be it.
For the Brownies?
Chubb is gone. He's a free agent still. They could go that way. I don't think so. I think they're going to add in the trenches or yeah, that's probably what it's going to be. Either offensive line or defensive line, I would say.
Or how about trading back again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trading back would be the smartest move, but I think they either go tackle or interior defensive line here. They have so many more needs and can get a running back way later. I mean, they just got 36 from the Jags, so they could get the running back, one of those Ohio State guys, in the second round with one of their two picks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Will Campbell, is he going potentially number four here?
Yeah, he has to.
That's the kind of the chalk pick. I've heard some people might prefer. And it's a little bit of a reach, but like Kelvin Banks, because he's more of a true left tackle, where I think that's where he's going to stick in the league. And Will Campbell may be just a great pro wherever he lands, but he might end up kicking inside. So it just kind of depends on what they want to do.
I don't love this tackle class, but I guess that's just coming off last year had the strongest tackle class I can remember.
I don't love this corner class, but I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I didn't think it was a terrible corner class. It's not, it's definitely doesn't have 2024 depth. That was an unbelievable top five. And Ravens happened to get a piece of it, which was really nice. Mm-hmm. But after that, I thought this corner class has some injury issues with it, with both Revelle and Johnson.
And Morrison too, from Notre Dame.
Oh, good point.
I feel like this draft class in general is just very strong in the middle. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's going to be a lot of like starters that you always kind of liked on your team, but not a lot of kind of household like position defining players. It's just sort of my read on it.
I mean, sure, John, we're gonna basically be doing that all tonight, is working up towards our favorite picks at 27. I've got my seven I've already put out there fairly publicly. I like Barron probably number one. I like Emenwori third. Where are you guys? Let's go around the horn once. Jim, where are you?
I want them to trade the pick to the Raiders for Max Crosby.
Yeah, and leave the Raiders on the hook for some of that money too.
I mean, after that, I like safety, edge, or guard.
Who's your safety?
Well, I liked the Georgia kid until Ken started bad-mouthing him, so now I'm not sure.
I live in Atlanta. I've seen a lot of Georgia. I haven't really sat truly down with the tape, but I always felt like when Starks was, like, near the ball, like, things were just happening. He just had that sort of feel for me when I was watching him. So if he got it, I'd be excited, but I was not looking at the safeties incredibly intently. Apart from there are some really good mid-range safeties. Like if Xavier Watts was there in the second, that would be such a steal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it'd be a very low probability that it happened, but that'd be, I think, incredible value.
Yeah, he's not 40, I think.
Jake, who's your guy?
For me, Walter Nolan would be about my favorite pick at 27. And that's a non-Georgia pick. I like Malachi Starks a lot. Out of your seven, I still like Jade Barron a good bit. I think you had Walter Nolan on your list. I think he's one of the less likely guys to get there, but that's kind of, you know, what the Ravens get year after year. There's going to be somebody that falls down that shouldn't be there. So you got to look, kind of have to reach for the stars a little bit in your prediction. You don't want to, you know, think too low. So yeah, for me, I think he'd be awesome. And that was the position group that I really keyed in on, was defensive line. And he's my second guy there.
Okay.
Also, I know he's not going to be there and I know he's not a fit, but I do like Mikael Williams. Just because I feel like he plays with so much force.
Did you say you didn't think he'd be a fit?
Yeah, Cam was talking about this too. He's such a 4-3 guy. Much more than... There you go.
Okay, number four pick is out. It's Will Campbell of LSU goes to the Patriots.
Straight chalk.
Yep.
Looks like he's got Celtics colors on.
Mm-hmm. He might have known. All right, so BMoreP is at the NFL analyst on Twitter, who did a big series of three shows with me on how the Ravens could re-sign basically all of their year three players. So it's very well done. I appreciate all the effort you put in on that. And I'm like struggling to remember what his name is, his first name, but he'll tell me or I'll look it up if we're racing for it here.
Yeah, those were really good shows, by the way. I really enjoyed those.
So he said 1,900 points that the Browns netted off of Jimmy John's points, right? That the Browns netted off of that. And what pick is that about, 1,900 points?
If it was 1,900, I want to kind of go through this math myself. It would be like the fourth pick in the draft. That's worth 1,800. Yeah.
Okay, so he said roughly 1,000 points instead of the 1,900.
If you devalue the pick a full round.
Right. Yep. But the question is, what pick are you assuming that the Jags have in 2026? Because if you know, that could have a big range of potential outcomes. And yeah, it could be a great pick, mm-hmm. or it could be the, you know, the 20th could pick
be,
or something.
Yeah, it could be a playoff pick, or it could not be.
Could be a top three pick again.
I think it devalues to the average at the 16 is, I think, how they do that. Like, if you're trying to estimate the value, you assume it's the just like right in the median. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Paul. Sorry for forgetting.
Cleveland at 5. I don't know that Cleveland would be a spot for Mason Graham. So that's going to be a little bit interesting. Who do you guys, who do you think the target would be?
It's either Graham or Graham. Like, line, they need an interior defensive line, so I think.
I feel like Graham is like one of those players, like he'll just find a spot on like any line. He's, you know, just like a very solid.
Honestly, I think an edge rusher could be in play for him if they really like Jalen Walker. I know a number of people do, including myself. That would be interesting. Mykel Williams might be a little rich at 5.
You are all over the Georgia guy.
Well, Jalen Walker, I'm for most people is kind of the second edge rusher from everything that I hear, but you know, everybody has their own opinion.
Dane Brugler has him as the second edge rusher and a top 5 player.
Who did you have as second, Ken?
I had a Green, who I think may be black dotted by the Ravens.
That's so true. Yeah, Mike Green's a good player.
Yeah, and then I had the third guy is Azaracco, and the fourth is Pierce. Pierce is the guy I really think would be a great pick for the Ravens if they got there, but I take Azaracco over him.
Wasn't there rumors about character issue with James Pierce, though?
Yes.
Yeah, he skipped practice and a bunch of other things. He doesn't really love football.
Azaracco is small on that. For the Ravens? Like, the Ravens seem to usually go from size at that edge spot.
He's shorter, but he's long. Like, he's not, you know, he's got good length.
34 inch arms.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me a little bit of, not quite the get off, but it reminds me a little bit of Doomerville.
Pierce has an outrageous get off. It's one of the best in all of college football. He had the highest pass rush productivity of anybody, and he does it with a complete one trick pony kind of bag. It's strictly outside dip, rip, or chop.
They say Yannick Ngakoue is his comp.
That makes sense.
Does Azaracco fit at all for the Ravens as a Sam?
Let me take a look at what he had for him for coverage, because there was something.
So it looks like Cleveland made their pick.
Yeah, they were pretty quick to pick.
I think if they go edge, they should go Stewart.
For some reason, if Stewart ends up in the Browns, like, I just feel like he's
going to be version of himself. Just get trained by Myles Garrett and be a complete freak of nature. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Quickly answer your question there. 35 snaps in coverage last year. So there's not enough to know, but he does kind of 462 speed is probably enough that you'd hope he could play Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce is like 447. So.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I'd want him to learn how to rush the passer before he.
Yeah.
He does the other. Mason Graham goes at number 5. All right, so another chalk move.
Surprised they didn't go Genty.
I'm not surprised. Death Taxes and Graham at 5 has been a popular bet for everybody, but they thought it was going to be the Jags. I'm not surprised it's the Browns. I mean, after losing Tomlinson, like, who do they have on the interior to go along with Garrett? Like, nobody.
Fair. He's a good player.
Also, I think Graham's like the sure. Graham and Genty are the only like sure things left to me. You know, Campbell had questions, but, you know, Carter, Hunter, Graham and Carter really be, I mean, they just seem like the surest things to me.
Do we see a mid-round jump for Shador?
Trying to think who's trading from there, but it's still always possible. Anybody who thinks they can get value on the exchange would be reasonable.
Wouldn't be surprised if it was Pittsburgh.
They have no capital unless they're going to dip into next year's.
Or they could trade a player.
George Pickens?
Yeah, that's exactly who I'm thinking.
Oh, here we have, let's make use of these graphics. You know, that's it does seem like a little bit of an anti-Browns pick, meaning an anti-Ravens pick, I should say, to try and help stop the Ravens' run game. Mason Graham is like a better version of Kelly Gregg in a lot of ways. A little bit short-armed, wrestling background, tremendous productivity as a tackler. He's an outstanding player, but he makes do with less because of the wrestling background. Unbelievable penetrator.
Mm-hmm.
7+ tackles for loss.
That's big time for interior lineman.
Let me get the Graham arm length for you there. 32 inches. So wow. He's 296 at the combine. He reportedly played the season at 320. 5'10 is his, you know, nothing special in terms of the 40. 24 bench reps is not good, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that low center of gravity, though.
Yeah. And here's the big thing. His stops to missed tackle ratio this last year was 15-1, which is one of the highest of the interior defensive line. 9.4 for his career is also outstanding. Wow. Now, there are better. Walter Nolan, in particular, is kind of like the king of that stat.
Yeah, it's the wrestling background, man. He's a grappler. He knows how to get him down.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that stat is, on average, he brings them down 9 times before he has a missed tackle.
No, it's he gets defensive wins. Okay. 9.4 times as often as he misses a tackle. And those are like the other team is not keeping up with the amount of progress they're expected to get on a buy down basis.
Keeping up with the chains, yeah.
I also feel like just with this defensive line class, he's almost certainly not going to be the best defensive lineman. Like, just someone's going to pop out. Like, there's just so many guys in this class.
So I think Tyler Linderbaum's arms are longer than this guy's arms.
We'll see, I guess.
No.
I think he's 31 and change, isn't he?
Tyler Linderbaum is 31 and 1.125.
31 and an eighth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, Mason Graham looks like the first guy who almost doesn't really seem that excited. Kind of like a forced smile. Oh, crap, I'm playing for Cleveland.
At least he gets to play with Myles Garrett. Can I miss your receiver show? Do you have McMillan as the number one receiver in the draft?
Yes. Okay. But I'll go to my top 10. Well, I'll go to the board here. That'll tell me. So, yeah, McMillan, Abuka, Golden, Burden are my top 4 in that order. Okay, Raiders pick is in.
If they're smart, it'd be Membu. They need a right tackle. They don't need a running back more than they need a right tackle.
Ashton Jeanty is off the board.
Good point.
At number 6. That is a Raiders pick, if ever there was one. Take a skill position player.
That was extremely chalk as well going into today. Jeanty to the Raiders was really common.
Raiders fans will be happy, but he won't have anybody to block for him.
Yeah, Mason Graham definitely thought he was getting that Florida tax and better weather. If he was able to be picked by Jacksonville instead.
For people who live in Maryland, and I know a lot of you guys don't, Alaska or your other places in the United States, but Maryland has some tax changes coming, and the lack of federal employee taxpayers really is going to hit Maryland very hard.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies. 100% federally legal THC blends discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
All right, we had a real chalky board so far. There's not a lot to show, but I'll just keep up with this for a moment here. So we'll go to it. But number one pick and number one player has been taken at 6 different positions so far. Which is, that's unusual, I'd say, that you don't have, you know, a run on quarterbacks near the top or maybe, you know, 2 or 3 edge rushers taken or something.
Diverse so far.
Yeah. I mean, all the blue chips went.
Yeah, we have Warren at tight end is still, I think, a lot of people consider him. We got the top left tackle is still on the board in terms of banks.
Yep. Top cornerback.
Yeah, and top the Raiders historically have been the team that goes kind of off board to reach for a guy, whether that's a Darius Hayward Bay or a Cleveland Farrell or the
right
team that typically
Damon Arnett.
That,
Damon Arnett.
The first round always has a couple surprises where you get a name or two. It's obviously none so far, but the Raiders are always the most likely team to do it. And the second most likely, I think, in recent years has been the Patriots. Like picking the Cole Strange pick was an odd pick in terms of going up to get him.
I wonder how much of that. Yeah, I wonder how much of that is going to change without Belichick, though.
Yeah, Belichick was making some wild picks in the first round.
Yeah, this was
highly drafted lacrosse players in New England this year.
I always thought the crazy picks was like an Al Davis thing. Kept going.
Or the Cleveland Farrell in top 10.
Yep. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
They kind of found a way to go weird while still sticking to the board by taking a running back high who just happened to be that highly rated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, technically, yeah, he fell based on his overall rating. Did they go Warren here?
I'm happy for Brock Bowers.
Boy, if the Jets really think a tight end is what they need to put them over the top, I'd be a little bit surprised.
Well, it is the Jets.
Yeah. They are a little bit linked to Tyler Warren. So that could be interesting. I mean, offensive line still makes sense for them. I mean,
I should go Membu.
I think tackle would be great.
Yeah, Membu or Banks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they were going to... I mean, who did they get last year? What didn't they take an offensive lineman last year? Or was it a corner? They didn't get another corner, did they? Besides Sauce? I think they took the
corner Christian, what's his name? Look it up.
Oh, they got Latu from UCLA.
Yeah.
Or was it?
Wait, they got him. The Colts got him, right?
Oh, yeah. I was just looking up.
Yeah, Latu got Colts. Yes.
Yeah, that's Colts. Who did they take?
It wasn't. Brees Hall was a second round pick last year, right?
Drake May.
No, he was two years ago. Two years ago.
Olu Fashanu.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. So they could go tackle again. It still makes sense.
Yeah, replace Morgan Moses. Get Membu or Tyler Warren. Membu or Tyler Warren is what I think the Jets take here.
Well, and they still had the longtime Dallas Cowboy tackle, Tyron Smith, last year.
Smith?
Wasn't he just there, and now he's, like, retired?
Yeah, 10-game Tyron. He's only good for 10 games.
Yeah.
But it's a really good 10 games.
Really good 10 games, but he misses them right when you need them the most, though.
I'm surprised.
He should have a platoon, somebody to play, like, the first 7 games for him, and then he comes in for the last 10.
What's that? I'm surprised he's still playing. He was in the Jimmy Smith draft. I remember that.
Oh, wow. But he was That's so young. He was like 20. Wow. He was like 20 years old when he came into the league. Yes, so he was like young for the longest time. Like he was like a 10-year vet, not even like almost 30.
There's somebody in the league right now that's like that, like a 10-year vet who's still like 29, going to be in his 10th year. He'll be 30 when the season starts, but he's 29 now.
Danielle Hunter for
Lamar's on that track too. Lamar's in his eighth year.
Eighth year for Lamar.
Yeah.
All right. Who are we expecting here? Are we expecting a left tackle? Are we expecting Warren? Are we expecting maybe McMillan?
I think Membu at right tackle or Warren at tight end.
Okay.
Do you have a higher opinion of Warren as a tight end than McMillan as a wide receiver?
Who are you asking?
Question.
Well, Ken, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Warren is a special tight end because he's really a wildcat quarterback as well. So it gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of what he can bring to the field. So he's like head and shoulders above the rest of the tight end class. I don't like Loveland that much. I know a lot of people do, but there's a lot of the same similar type of big body used in crap offenses as a bailout target. It's hard to really know how good they are. People swear by Loveland. Arroyo had the benefit of playing with Cam Ward and was fantastic. So I like him better.
Arroyo tanked his stock with that 4.8, though.
I definitely think Warren is a much better tight end than McMillan as a wide receiver. Like, I, for a wide receiver one, I don't think McMillan's like setting my hair on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, the thing that's weird to me, and obviously I can't talk because I'm a Georgia fan. Last year, Brock Bowers getting picked in the teens versus the tight ends that they're talking about this year going in the top 10, like no brainer. Just mm-hmm. doesn't, it does not compute to me because I think Brock Bowers is head and shoulders better than Tyler Warren and Colson Loveland. But this is a different class and there's different, different quarterbacks. Last year, there were a lot of quarterbacks. So that definitely impacts things.
The pick is in here. We have Armand Membu is the guy. So that's a good pick for the Jets.
Yeah, see, he's a natural right tackle, so they don't have to put a square peg in a round hole with Membu. They don't have to move him to the left side. Because they got Olavishanu to play on the left side, and then they'll just stick Membu at his natural spot at right tackle. They don't have to experiment with something that's never been done before at the college level.
I think it's a really good pick.
You know, it kind of surprises me that the Browns didn't make a pick like that to address tackle the year before they address quarterback, because oftentimes left tackles have a bad first year.
Well, they still could at like 36 or whatever they just picked up if there's a tackle that slides.
I think they could trade up for Simmons in the back end of the first round. Just like give them a year to develop, and then that'd be their Ohio guy staying in Ohio.
Out of Oregon. I'm blanking on his name.
Josh Connerly?
Yeah, Josh Connerly.
I was going to say the same. That would be a really nice
Michael Williams right here.
That would be a really nice pick early second, Connerly.
That'd be great.
Either Pierce or Williams?
Yeah, I think the thing here that Steve's talking about is more complicated than just one for one, who's the better player in 2025. It's really about the contract. And how many years of team control you have. Because I think that Mark Andrews is better than what you're going to get out of probably most of these rookie tight ends. But
based on per dollar basis? So.
No, not per dollar basis, but based on the season he could have. I mean, he did just lead the NFL in tight ends in touchdowns from the tight end position. And nobody wants to talk about that. He had 11 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the most productive tight ends in NFL history on a yards per reception, yards per target basis for as long of a career as he's had.
He just set the Ravens record for touchdown percentage on anybody with 30 or more targets touchdowns as a percentage of targets. A couple guys, Bateman also had a great year in that respect, set the record for wide receivers. But
and he was hurt too to begin the year. People forget that, like,
first four games.
Yeah, that car accident was nothing serious. I mean, if it wasn't for him wearing his seatbelt, like, he could have been like mortally wounded. So kudos to him for buckling it up.
So, Steve, one thing, by the way, Steve, we'd love to have you on the panel here one of these three nights if you can make time for us. Steve and I went to high school together a long time ago, a very, very long time ago. But anyway, he's a very knowledgeable football guy who posts on RSR all the time. I don't know what his handle is there, but you guys would know him certainly if you're there. He's a guy who in terms of Andrews, the comp pick would be deferred 2 years. It's really not an apples to apples comparison to mm-hmm. get the year out of him at $7 million, which is that's the real question. And there's also a certain value to unstacking a contract because it allows you to pick up a tight end this year who you can then develop. And yes, the guy's not going to be as good as Andrews, but you're going to have 4 years of team control that goes with that. And I think that's what that's why it's a much more difficult question. And honestly, I'd trade likely if the right price came along. Nobody should be above the bar in terms of somebody you can't trade. I'd prefer to trade Andrews and keep likely, but I'm sure they've gone to both players right now. We heard recently DaCosta talked about having a lot of balls in the air. I think that they're entertaining contract extensions with a lot of different players, and they probably are having difficulty getting them done, or really had some happen, particularly at tight end by now.
Oh, Steve, it's Shaz. Hi, Shaz. I've interacted with you a bunch over the years.
Also, the real replacement for Mark Andrews is ideally Isaiah Likely, and then Charlie Kohler is really the Isaiah Likely replacement. So that third tight end you're drafting would really be the Charlie Kohler replacement.
Right.
Could be.
I think it could go either way in terms of who becomes the Isaiah Likely, because Charlie Kohler was definitely just a target hog at Iowa State, but there are so many receiving leaning tight ends in this class, you know, guys that are awesome, or like Arroyo, that I don't think the Ravens are going to be in the range to get. That would be, you know, a perfect fit to become the Robin to Isaiah Likely's Batman. Or, well, I mean, he could even become a Batman himself at some point. But
if we're talking about draft, the Ravens drafting tight ends, though, we need to realize that it'll be the second tight end that'll be the good one.
We would need to draft two, which really doesn't work out this year.
Yeah.
Well, we could trade the one for a six or something.
I like just total kind of sleeper pick, but what's his name? Jackson Hayes out of Georgia Tech. He was like a late season transfer, and he just set Tech on fire. Seems like a guy who would have good day three value.
I want to address Steve's comment here. The $4 million sunk cost, Steve. I already took that. I like it's $7 million.
Joshua, Simon out of South Carolina, personally.
It's a good tight end class. Like
it is.
Got another. I expect a lot of solid starters.
I think that's probably the reason why the Ravens haven't been able to get more traction, you know, based on what we know, which could be absolutely nothing. But what the media is telling us, the Ravens haven't gotten what they have been searching for Andrews. And it's probably because this tight end class is so darn good.
Let's not count out the number three we have in the room, or number four we have in the room now with Ishmael.
Yeah.
He just got signed today by the Raiders.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was some shitty news, that's for sure.
Damn.
Yeah, I made a joke about that in the group chat, talking about he's going to be the next Darren Waller without the former addiction issues.
That's
McMillan
actually,
goes at number eight, the eighth overall pick.
Oh, McMillan. I think that's a good fit for Bryce Young. I mean, he has a crazy catch radius, big body out there for him. It's not the kind of target that the Panthers already have, and they don't really have much in the receiving room. So it makes a lot of sense, even though a lot of mock drafts leading up to this were kind of leaning towards pass rusher for them. I think a skill position player is a really smart move.
Yeah, I think he'll be what they thought hoped Xavier Leggett was going to be last year as far as that big body outside guy. I like McMillan more than I like Leggett coming out last year.
Like, the thing about McMillan that I think works so well with Bryce Young is, like, I think he can get to his spot really well. And Bryce is such a – he's a pinpoint guy for me. Like, he wants it in a very specific spot. And
he has to play on time.
Dude.
You know, this first round actually is going quite quickly. If it went at this rate for the entire time, I think we've done in less than 4 hours, given how much stuff there was at the beginning.
Ken, you dropped the bomb on me with that Ishmael news.
Yeah, I didn't hear from Q or anything before. It just showed up on Twitter this afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a bummer. I mean, Kadir was a really intense player at camp. He had a feud going on with the defensive, with the outside linebackers, where he'd put Ajabo on the ground once, and then this is where it gets really, you know, sophomoric here. Adafi Owe at one point was teabagging him after he knocked him on the ground once. And so it's like, if you're getting that kind of attention from a veteran player, it doesn't speak well of the defense, and it really speaks very well of Kadir.
Yeah, his ability to get in guys' heads.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
I also, just for his sake, I don't love the Raiders for him. Well, they have Russ now.
Russ? The Raiders?
Didn't Russ Wilson go to the – wait, who went to the Raiders?
Geno Smith.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely better.
You would think.
Well, I mean, there's worse situations for a pass catcher to be in, you know.
Yeah, you could be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, for real.
So, Anthony, interesting point here. You don't want to see Sanders – go to either the Browns later or the Steelers later. You're concerned about Sanders then, right? They're so concerned you want him going to the NFC.
I'm not concerned about Sanders lighting up the AFC.
Me either. He belongs in a dome, sunny division like the NFC South. He doesn't belong in the AFC North, in my opinion.
Someone
rise way out of the North.
Yeah, someone comped him to Teddy Bridgewater, and I can't not see it anymore.
So is Kelvin Banks still on the board?
Yes, he's still on the board. We've had 8 picks, 8 different positions. Well, let me show you this.
And Jalen Walker's still on the board, right?
Move that for a second. Mm-hmm. 8 picks, 8 different position groups so far.
Jalen Walker might go right now, though.
This is the most diverse first round I've seen so far.
Incredible, isn't it?
So, interestingly enough, I did a mock draft yesterday. Some website has something where the person that submits it and has the most picks right wins $100, you know, so whatever. You didn't have to put anything in. I am 8 for 8 right now in terms of players where they got drafted, not necessarily what team drafted them. So 1 through 8, I have the exact player where they got picked.
Well, who do you have at number 9?
Number 9 is Jalen Walker. So we're about to find out.
You were saying it's Jalen Walker still on the board, and I was like, he might go right now. I actually think Lawrence is a pretty good pick for him.
Because Armand Membu went to the Jets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Then, 8 for 8 so far. So 25%, right?
So the Saints have a possibility, I think, here of taking a quarterback. A lot of people say they won't, but if they could take a quarterback, and it might be Shador, it could even be Jackson Dart. I've heard that comp. But tell me this, is it better for the Ravens to have Shador on the still available on the board still when they pick at 27, or does it not really matter because all the teams that have already had their chance? It seems like Cleveland might trade back into the first round. They have a lot of capital to do so now. I don't know if they do it with the Ravens, but they certainly have the capital to do it.
Kind of like how the Ravens went back in the first for Lamar.
Yeah.
Not the same value, but obviously just trying to get back into the first round to get their guy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I definitely see Shador as like a trade back into one for the fifth year option late in the first. Quarterback is, I think, his ideal spot.
I want to ask you guys, how early do you think Jalen Milroe gets picked?
He's going in the back half of the first round. They wouldn't invite him into Green Bay if they didn't have a sniff or an inkling. I don't think he should, but why else would you invite him to the green carpet unless you wanted him to be this year's Geno Smith from 2013 or whatever?
Okay.
Whenever Geno
pick is in.
The first deviation, it's offensive tackle, Kelvin Banks Jr., true left tackle there.
So they just declined Trevor Penning's fifth-year option, so I'm not surprised by that at all. I was actually going to throw that up as a dark horse pick for them. Because Penning has been pretty much a disaster for them, and they need a left tackle of the future. I like this pick for the Saints.
It's a good pick. I mean, Banks, he's my number one left tackle. I think he was one of my magnificent seven, one of the guys I thought had an outside chance to drop all the way to 27. Doesn't shock me that he's taken now. And unfortunately, I'd say if I'm looking at this whole draft, I'd say the Browns trade was the first bad piece of news for the Ravens, and this is the second. This is not good news for the Ravens.
Yeah, that was the one, I think, really special player who might have made it. Because I think it's a weak class at the top. I mean, I feel that way. And I think a lot of people do. And I think if you're at the 8th pick, like left tackle, edge, quarterback is really what you're looking for. So I think that kind of pushed him up.
So the Saints, they have a Derek Carr injury. They're still considered as a prime spot for Jackson Dart, say, or somebody like that, particularly, you know, geographically.
Yeah, but I think they're more of a trade back into the first than spend a top 10 pick on him. So I think they'll target one of those quarterbacks. I mean, if I was the Saints, I'd take it on a chin 1 year for Spencer Rattler and try again at quarterback next year. But, you know, the Saints delude themselves in thinking they're going to compete for a division title or a Super Bowl every year. So you never know.
No cap.
Yeah, they're going to have to eat that cap eventually.
Mm-hmm. Well, given the division they play in, though, I mean, they're never really out of it.
There's some of the strangest news of the night. The Orioles won a game.
Huh. I feel like Atlanta is the only team in the NFC South that has like an exciting future, just because I think Penix is exciting to me.
Oh, Tampa too.
Yeah, I like Tampa.
The second round is so full of good players, Matthew. So is the third, for that matter. That there's going to be, I think there'll probably be eight guys on the board that I wouldn't be unhappy with at 59. But Watts would be really exciting at 59, for example. At 91, there's a lot of players becomes less sure about who will still be around, but probably some really good value will slip to 91, and the Ravens could pick him up there. Day two and day three stuffed with the, you know, the top 10 lists at every position that I've been doing. So, there's a lot of choices.
Who are these?
If we do go tackle in this draft, how do we feel about pushing them inside for the first year or the second year until Ronnie gets, you know, either moved or leaves the team?
It makes a lot of sense, I'd say.
Okay. I am curious how many of the tackles we really love at guard, though. You know, because like Banks was really the one who I'm like, that guy would be a phenomenal left guard and also a left tackle.
And that's
Connerly out of Oregon, I just don't think he has the strength to play guard. Like he's a quick Teron Armstead type of guy.
Nor do I want these guys coming in and they're learning guard, and it's like, you know, you don't forget how to play tackle, but once you get into the league and you get into the groove of trying to just play guard and play inside, the technique's completely different. So
yeah. And that's the only thing I'm wary about. We all agree that Zabel just is an interior player.
Yes.
So that's not really giving you future value in terms of tackle. Gray Zabel, he's just going to be an interior guy.
And you don't get any value from the fifth-year option from Zabel being the pick. I like Ariate Ursary. I mean, he could be a guy who would give you guard / tackle value.
Do you think he goes? You think he goes in the first round?
No.
Yeah.
No. I think basically we might have seen our last left tackle from the first round already. Connerly is the one additional one that I would see as a possibility.
Yeah, I think Connerly sneaks in the back half.
He feels like he might be Kansas City's pick.
The Bears pick is in. I think this might be a receiving weapon, and I'm probably leaning tight end here.
Yeah, they don't have a tight end. And
Tyler Warren, I mean, they have Cole Kmet, but I do think they kind of want to go in another direction.
It's also, I think tight end's a great position to have two guys.
I think the Michael Edge here, though.
It could be Edge.
What edge do you think goes next? Walker?
Walker.
I mean, you know my pick, but I'm different.
Could be Green.
Yeah, Walker
could Green. It could be Mike Green, especially if everything clears on their end, like they're okay with all of his off the field.
Who were the two women they had on stage there before the Bears pick?
They're hosts on NFL Network.
Yeah, they're just NFL Network people.
They were announcing the schedule release.
May 14th.
Okay, that's exciting.
Oh, somebody did comment, Josh Simmons. Yeah, he will go in the first round as well.
Well, Josh Simmons, I count among the IOL.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You don't see him as a tackle at all?
No. I mean, look, there's a lot of short arm people. We've had some short arm years in recent years, and oftentimes these things just sift out. Tevin Jenkins was a pick that a lot of people on this show liked a few years ago, and he moved into side to guard and has been a lot better. Announcing the pick, Colston Loveland of Michigan, another tight end goes, and a first tight end goes,
yeah,
and it's my third tight end.
Speaking of Mark Andrews, that's the
we did pick tight end. I just called the wrong one.
I'm very surprised Colson Loughlin went above TJ Warren.
Someone who's looking for a tight end is jumping for joy in that room right now.
I mean, a number of people I know do like Loveland better than Warren, but it's definitely not my opinion. It's interesting, though.
All right, let me go to my notes on him.
I think San Fran has to go Walker.
I do think this has a trickle-down effect. Because Loveland was a guy that I would peg for the Chargers. And I think that leaves the Chargers now in a more likely spot. Not that they have to go with Michigan, but Harbaugh knows these guys in depth because he was recently there. I think they might be in on Grant. That's going to be a really interesting position as we get a little bit further down the draft, what kind of player the Chargers might be targeting.
What
about, I think they're going to consider him either way. They're always in on Grant, I think.
Yeah, I do too. But I think Loveland would be a really solid option as well. And now that he's gone, it kind of limits what I would think they might do.
I think there's also one more team that didn't take an edge rusher that could have taken an edge rusher. That's like net two now. In my heart, I want an edge rusher. I just want someone to be like, I can't believe he's still on the board.
Yeah, that's a great point, Justin. I think tight ends taken early also favors the possibility of the Ravens trading a tight end. You get him around two or three is a possibility. Let me tell you what I didn't like about Loveland. Loveland has a very, very low rate of missed tackles forced, 0.05 per reception, which is the lowest at 0.07 career. So it's not like it was a one-year variation or something. He's always been bad at making the first guy miss. The passer rating throwing to him, he's had a bunch of crappy quarterbacks throwing to him at Penn State, but the passer rating throwing to him this last year was 78.4, and he had five touchdowns. There were six interceptions with him as the target.
Wow.
That's a bad year. And if you ignore the basic receiving metrics, the advanced receiving metrics, I'll call it, at your own peril. If you seriously want to do that and say, I'm looking at the film. I know this guy's great. Do so at your own peril. I like the guys who all their traits line up very well with their metrics, whether that's coverage or receiving or whatever it might be. And, edge rushers, how their sack and pressure pyramid plays out is very important to me. This Colson Loveland thing, the pieces just do not fit together for him. He does not drop the football. That's good. Only two drops and 82 targets. But he also, this is a big one, only made 2 of 10 contested catches on the season.
Well, that's a waste.
How did his advanced stats compare with the other receivers on his team?
Okay, so what I'll do for you is I'll tell you what the overall quarterback rating was on his team.
Okay.
I can get you that. That's about as much as I can do.
Are they on commercial?
Yes.
Okay. Who do you think moves up? Tries to make a move.
I will say I very much expect the 49ers to take either Walter Nolan or one of the edge rushers that are sitting at the top of this board right now.
Dane Brugler mocked Nolan to the Niners in this spot.
Yeah, and he makes a ton of sense. He kind of fits the prototype that they like. Really lean, athletic, pass rusher type. Fits that kind of...
Armstead.
Yeah, I mean, he fits the mold of like an Eric Armstead and who was the other guy? Buckner, DeForest Buckner, those kind of types. It very much makes sense for them.
This guy's, to my recollection, those are like super, those are like Calais Campbell types to me.
Yeah, I mean, they're a little bigger than Nolan, but still, that more athletic, kind of like a 4-3 front type.
Yeah.
Penetrating defensive lineman.
They remind me of like those old Wade Phillips defenses where it's like kind of a 3-4-1 gap. I don't know. I haven't watched that much Niners ball, but it always felt like it was a lot of like penetration to me. I'm not sure if I'm recollecting. Like that, Nolan feels like hit your gap and just blow it up and get past there. And, you know, someone will come in behind you if they have to, but really like penetrating type of guy.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you, by the way, Justin, but Nolan also was the best guy in the entire class in terms of getting his guy on the ground and getting defensive stops in relation to 16 to 1. So his 32 stops, a ton. He had like 75 in his career, which is an outstanding 3-year total.
Real quick, if they go edge instead of Nolan, who do you think the edge is going to be?
I mean, anybody? I guess it could be Green. Mm-hmm. Could be obviously.
I mean, anybody, but Mykael Williams, Jalen Walker. Walker's still available, right?
Pierce. So
yep.
Could be either of those guys. Could be Green. I think it might be a little early for Ezeraku.
Yeah.
Probably early for Pierce.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yep. I think it's going to be one of those three guys.
Pierce is the high variance player that somebody's going to think, I can coach him up and make him a lot better. And I think they can, by the way. And that's why I really want the Ravens to get him. But I think Green is the other guy who probably has more natural gifts than just about anybody. The other guy who I really like is Swinson. It was all the way down at number 7 for me, but it's still, I think, a pretty good edge.
Before we move off the Loveland pick, I just want to mention that he was Matt Waldman's number 1 tight end in this draft.
Loveland, you asked me for the quarterback rating. The quarterback ratings of Penn State in aggregate were 71.6 last year. So he did beat the spread, but not by a lot. Yeah, and when I look at wide receivers, I actually had the quarterback listed for each one, and the typical spread beating was by, 20 or 25 points was about normal for the draftable wide receivers.
That makes sense.
It might be a stretch for him to get there. James Pierce, though, Washington would be a culture that could take him in and be able to at least, get him 100% committed to football and then work on his mechanics that way. Because Dan Quinn's a hell of a defensive coordinator and a head coach, and he gets a lot from his guys. So I think he would do well there in Washington.
Another interesting edge that we still haven't talked about that much is Shamar Stewart, and we still don't know who the pick is. It's about to come in.
I like Shamar for the Ravens if he's there.
Ugh.
No, I'm talking about for the Niners right here. I think that he's the kind of profile they might be interested in, even though there's a lot of serious question marks.
Ken, why that reaction?
I'll come Stewart. Back to it in just a second. Mykael Williams off the board, which I think is good news for the Ravens. He's a good player, but he's really more of a 4-3 edge. So he could be something really special out of this draft, but I had him lower largely because of fit concerns with the Ravens.
Yeah, he, to me, like, he just feels so physical. He's just, when he takes on blocks, he just kind of blows them up the most, I think, of the edges. Maybe that's just because I've watched a lot of Georgia living down here, but he just feels like he kind of outmans the dude he's playing against. He was also playing at like 60% this year. He had a really bad
edge. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He is a crazy pedigree player. I mean, 5-star upon 5-star. He was like the number 1 or number 2 defensive player in all of football coming out of high school and into college. Didn't really live up to expectations at Georgia. I'm saying that as a Georgia fan that watches every single game. One of the clips they just showed on TV on this ESPN coverage was of the Texas game. I think that was one of his best games from this past year. Him and Jalen Walker went off in those two games, really, but especially one for Mykael Williams. So
Cowboys, I think he's, didn't waste no time.
I think he's going to be a much better pro than he was in college. I think he just needs to handle his health, really just kind of needs to get luckier with it and get in the right training room. And I think he'll be a really strong player.
His face is just a little bit like Ray Lewis, just a little, just that expression there, the head thrown back.
Okay, I'll give you, you asked me, Frazier, why the Ugg at Shamar Stewart is one of the guys I really hate for the Ravens. He's got 4.5 career sacks, 1.5 in each of three seasons, first of all. He's got a fifth percentile finish rate. There's 408 guys in college football who rush the passer 200-plus times. His percentage of times he got a quarterback hit or a sack was in the fifth percentile as a percentage of all pressures. He did have a decent pass rush productivity of 7.1%, which is in the 70th percentile. Just doesn't close at that rate, not anywhere near that rate. Okay. Here's the other problem. He's got a 26.9% career missed tackle rate, and that's the worst of all the edges, and only a 1.6-1 stops to missed tackle rate, whereas Nolan, for example, is 10 times that high at 16-1.
Yeah, Shamar Stewart can't tackle.
Tyler Booker goes there. There's a surprise and I think a really great deal for the Ravens.
Yeah.
There goes Dallas.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Booker was one of the guys I liked for the Ravens.
He went early.
Yeah, why are they reaching?
I feel like
he's just going to.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
I was going to say Booker to me is like such a man scheme guy. Like, I think it's hard for me to imagine him in like a really zone heavy scheme, like a Munchkin scheme or Todd Monken scheme. Like he feels more like a great, like a San Diego Charger or a Los Angeles Charger, Greg Roman guy to me. I don't know Dallas's scheme, honestly.
I knew the Cowboys were going to go offensive line at some point after losing.
Look at you go.
He probably just ran faster than he did at his whole combine right there.
Going trenches.
We're getting a lot of background noise from Kyle Gore. I'm sorry to say this. I don't want to be that guy who is supposed to try and mute when you're not speaking.
I think he's going to be a good player, really solid. He was such a poor athletic tester that it's a little surprising that he went this early as just a guard, but Dallas likes to draft offensive linemen early, and it tends to work out for him.
It's a happy young man.
He's not going to pay any income state tax. That's why he's happy.
Texas doesn't have income state tax.
No, sir. Oh, I live in Dallas. No income state tax.
Huh.
Tennessee, Texas, Florida,
Las Vegas,
retirement. Oh yeah, Nevada. Yeah, they're all big retirement places.
And you got like some of the middle Northwest too, but no one wants to play there.
I do know Tyler Booker is known as being just having a great football attitude.
I watched somebody's 25 plays of him to get a sense of him, and he really seemed to enjoy belly flopping on a guy who was knocked to the ground. That seemed to be his signature move, was just diving on top of somebody.
And I think that's what we're missing on the Ravens, a real finisher, a punisher on offensive line.
I will say from earlier with the tight end coming off the board, the other impact point in this draft might be at the pick following Miami. Indianapolis is heavily linked to the tight end position, which means if Indianapolis becomes the Tyler Warren spot, then every tight end needy team after that is going to be reaching into the deeper pool, second round, third round that we're thinking of, and possibly pushing another guy into the first round or whatever. It's going to essentially help Baltimore, have one more additional value pick at 27.
I completely agree. Every tight end drafted off the board helps the Ravens. And there are a lot of guys in this draft. Everyone down to Fannin, the top seven guys, I think, can provide you some instant offense. Gunnar Helm, I think, he's a legitimate offensive threat. I think Arroyo gives you probably the most explosive kind of big slot receiver look. Warren gives you the Wildcat offense. He's just got a lot of different stylistic choices at tight end, too.
Yeah. Fannin is really interesting as well, just being that practically a receiver. He gets the Isaiah Likely comp a lot. Led all tight ends, maybe in college football history, but definitely this season in terms of his yardage and yards per reception and all that.
He was the first ever player from a FBS conference to win the league's MVP. First tight end from an FBS school. Just that's shocking to me that that's never happened before. But the FBS has only been around, what, less than 20 years, right? Or maybe about 20?
Wait,
yes. A little bit more, because the early 2000s had bowls, like the bowl championship series, right? So like, I think 2002, 2003 were BCS games, so a little more than 20 at least.
That's still, that's, you know, as many as probably 12 to 15 conferences they've had for a lot of those years, times 20 to 25 years, you'd think some tight end would break through, but Fannin is the first. So we got the Dolphins picking right now. Jahad Campbell a possibility here?
Brugler mocked Gray Zabel to them.
Okay.
Here.
That feels high for Gray Zabel to me.
I think any out of order pick like that is probably a good thing for the Ravens. I think because they want an interior offensive lineman. They probably don't want the total number of interior offensive linemen to be depleted too much. But anytime somebody's picking before 27 and they make a pick you think should be after 27, it's a good pick for the Ravens.
Let's see, who did I take?
This also just feels like a draft a lot of tackles.
I initially took Will Johnson from Miami in my mock draft. That would be an interesting pick for him. I'm not sure if he's going to go that early.
Yeah, I kind of have him dropping out of the first round now with what happened. For those who don't know, and those on the stream may not. So Will Johnson had an injury, and he tried to recover, and he made it worse, I believe. He came back for like a 1 week, and then he had to have his season shut down. And he hadn't been able to go, wasn't able to test at the combine. Then he finally planned to have a pro day on April 14th, and then he didn't run. And so it was 4 days after we did our cornerback show. You know, I have him as the fifth best corner in this draft, but I think he might go in the second round, honestly, after what's happened to him physically and not being able to keep up. Great player, though, when he was on the field.
Could Miami take a shot at Mike Green?
Sure.
Bookend him with who they take last year out of UCLA.
I mean, they still have Chubb and that their former first-round pick that they have, Jalen Phillips.
I'd like to not hear a pick that begins with an E here. Or a B, an E or a B. Those are the two letters I don't want this starting with.
Do you think Ezeraka could go all the way up 13? That seems feels
hard. Emenwori would be the one I'd be worried about right here.
Yeah.
But I don't want either of them to go, so we're covered. Or Abuka, if they got Abuka, that's probably fine if they get Abuka, honestly.
NFL Network has the fam cam at the Sanders household. Coach Prime.
The secondary green room.
Right.
That was one intense draft with Aaron Rodgers all the way in there. Now what we know about Aaron Rodgers, how he is personally,
yep,
and, you know, kind of a psycho.
Just sitting there glowering.
Yeah. Kenneth Grant. Uh-oh. One of the Magnificent Seven is gone. There's two of the Magnificent Seven now.
Honestly, I'm not upset at that one.
Well, are you upset that it maybe decreases the chance that Nolan lasts at 27? Because he should be.
Yes, I am. I am upset at that for sure. That it's going to impact that. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are a team that could be looking at edge or interior defensive line.
Definitely edge, yeah.
So that could be difficult for us.
I do think this felt like a draft, but the more, whatever we needed, the more that goes in the first round, the better our later rounds are going to be. Mm-hmm.
We also might see Hendrickson on a move as well. Because Cincinnati, I don't think they want to re-sign him. They have to offload his contract. They have to make a choice on that.
So many of those trades can never come to fruition because the economics, even in the last year of the contract, doesn't really make sense. So we'll see if anything like that really happens tonight. Andrews is one of the few that it kind of makes sense. But the players have a bunch of void years, and they're a year away, and contracts have to get shut down a year early. It makes it more difficult to get those done, the deals done.
Yes. Warren to the Colts makes a ton of sense. Somebody commented to that. We talked about that earlier.
Are you guys able to put questions up as presenters? Are you allowed to click on the show on the right? Can any of you do that?
If you click present, probably.
Now, if you're looking at the live stream on the side, you see in the middle, if you click over the thing, there's a show. Maybe you can't see that.
Yeah, I don't think we have that.
Okay, it's too bad because I'd like Josh, if you're out there, if we can assign anybody else to be able to watch the questions, I'd love for somebody to volunteer for that. I've been doing it so far, but I'd love for somebody else to keep up on it better.